As Jesus is speaking to his audience, as he proclaims what it is that he has come to do in this world, he tells us very clearly that he only has one purpose, one motive in speaking. His purpose, the reason that he speaks, is to give us life, that we may have life in abundance, that we may have life to the full. God gave his only Son, so that those who believe in him might have eternal life. And so Jesus does everything in his power to communicate that life. He gives himself. He gives himself in word and in sacraments. And so first of all, we have listened now to the sacred scriptures. And in these words, Jesus, in so many different ways, is inviting us to a life that is filled with greater peace, that is filled with joy, that is, in the end, life in all of its fullness. Now, the one truth is this, is that in this life, we will never experience that fullness in all of its extent. That the kind of life that Jesus wants for us is a life that is only experienced in heaven. And in order to speak about this reality, Jesus will use images, he will use a parable. He will speak of himself as a shepherd, and that he has come to the sheepfold in order to call the sheep who have all gone astray into this fold, which belongs to his Father, this fold which belongs to himself. Now, as I speak to you this morning, you may be thinking to yourself, Jesus just said that the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd and that they will not listen to a stranger. Well, this is my difficulty. Here I am, a strange voice in a flock that I've never met before. And yet we all belong to the same sheepfold. We all belong to the church. I'm here today with Brother Joachim and Brother Charles. My name is Father Peter again. And we're here just simply to allow you to enter into the kind of life that we live, a life that is truly a life of prayer, a life which is lived in anticipation of the heaven that we all hope for as Christians, as Catholic, and those who belong to the sheepfold. And so really, it is a miracle that my brothers and I made it here this morning. We don't leave our monastery very frequently. And so it's only because it is Good Shepherd Sunday that we had a shepherd to get us here on time and at the right place. As a part of my life as a Carmelite, one of the ministries that I do undertake on a fairly regular basis is to give retreats to Carmelite communities throughout the country. So I actually do have opportunity to travel from time to time. And as you listen to me, you may be asking a question that many people ask me as I travel through airports, as I travel along the road. Everyone wants to know what I am. That's the question in their mind. On one occasion, as I was going through airport security, the TSA agent looked up and he said to me, "Don't make me ask." I said, What? And many other people will do the same thing. They will simply ask the question, "What are you?" So as to not remain a stranger to you, I will give you the top five guesses that most people make when they first encounter me or one of my brothers out in the wild, as we like to call it, when we are out of the monastery. So number five, this is the least actually common guess. People will say, "Are you a Carmelite?" Believe it or not, they don't know what a Carmelite looks like or what is a Carmelite, because very often we are behind our monastery walls. The next most common guess, number four, is, "Are you a Jesuit?" And I'm not sure why I get that question. Maybe because our property is right next to the Jesuit Retreat Center in Lake Elmo. The third most common guess is, "Are you a Benedictine?" And this is when I said, we'll always say, "Close, but no cigar." But you're on the right path. The second most common guess is, "Are you a Franciscan?" And that's a common question because we wear brown and we have beards. But I say, no, we don't belong to St. Francis. We belong to the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's who we are. We are as Carmelites. So then, believe it or not, the top question, without fail, that I get every single time, "Are you a Jedi?" Believe, yes, and one time not too long ago, I asked what my favorite color lightsaber was. The answer was green. Jesus, when speaking to his audience in the synagogue of Capernaum as he ends his Bread of Life discourse, will say to the people listening to him, "My words are filled with spirit and life." They are spirit and life. As I was coming here today, I asked Jesus that he would give me a word of spirit, a word of life for all of you, as I speak to people that I've never met before. And as Peter spoke for the very first time to the people of Jerusalem, he was given such power that he touched the hearts of all who spoke, of all those people that he spoke to. He cut them to the heart as he convicted them of their responsibility in the death of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. I'm not here to convince you of your own responsibility in the death of Jesus. Rather, I'm here to convince you, very briefly, of the importance of prayer in your life. This is ultimately how you will come to know the joys that the Good Shepherd has intended for you. In Psalm 23, we are told that the Good Shepherd pastures us in fields that are green, that he feeds us, and that in his presence we experience safety and security. This kind of peace, this kind of safety, this kind of nourishment, these green pastures, these still waters, are images of all something that we long for. All of us long for the peace and the fullness of heaven. And yet the truth is this, is that we have all gone astray like sheep. And so Jesus, as Good Shepherd, speaks a word of spirit. He speaks a word of life. And this is not a word that is spoken in a general way. He knows each and every one of you by name. And through me, he is speaking to you by name. And he's calling you into his sheepfold. Even now, he is telling you that you have the opportunity to experience a foretaste of heaven. In the sanctuary of our monastery, in our little chapel that we are currently using, Brother Christopher, the artist of our community, painted a beautiful fresco of the Good Shepherd. And it's Jesus sitting on a rock, and he has a sheep on either side of him. One sheep is looking up at him and is looking and gazing into his face. And you see the happiness, the joy, the contentment in the countenance of this little sheep. On the other side, Jesus is looking at the other sheep on his left-hand side, and he's handing him some green grass. And the sheep is eating from his hands. Again, he is also content. The two sheep represent various moments in our life as contemplatives, as Carmelites. We spend our whole day immersed in the sacred scriptures, praying with the word of God. That's like being fed by the hand of Jesus. We also live a life dedicated to the liturgy of the church. We are constantly singing the psalms. Every day we spend an hour or an hour and a half at Mass. And so Jesus feeds us through the word, through the sacrament. But he also feeds us through a life of interior prayer. And I couldn't possibly open up that reality to you except to explain to you the happiness, the joy that that sheep on the other side of Jesus experiences as he looks into his face. This is the joy of the contemplative. This is the answer to the desire, the deepest desire of all our hearts, is to be able to behold the face of the one who calls us by name. He is not a stranger, and he is inviting each and every one of you to what is called divine intimacy. This divine intimacy can only be experienced through a life of prayer, daily commitment to prayer. St. Teresa will say how very important it is for us in our journey in life to focus upon the sacred humanity of Christ, that we can never be without Christ, that he is a good companion, and that we should never forsake his company. He is the good shepherd that stands with us everywhere we are in life. He journeys with us, and he does so that we may indeed find our place in the sheepfold and not get lost on the way. It's so easy to get lost. It's so easy to get distracted. And as St. Teresa speaks about prayer, she will focus in on one verse from the passage we heard today, where Jesus explains, "I am the door. I am the gate to the sheepfold. No one can enter in except through me. There is no way that we can enter into the peace, the life that we all desire, except by going through Christ, by entering into the mystery of Christ. And we can only do this through daily prayer, by entering into the mysteries of the sacraments, receiving him often, frequently, in Holy Communion, being reconciled to him when we have gone astray through our sinfulness, through the sacrament of reconciliation. He's always calling us by name. And if you doubt me, I have an experience in my own life as I was journeying towards priesthood. So I wasn't always a Carmelite. In fact, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, originally. And I was studying for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. I was ordained for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Like Father Hedman, like Father Duffmer, I was a diocesan priest in a parish. I've been in my monastery for 17 years. But God called me from my place in Baltimore to my monastery near Still Waters in order to experience the peace of prayer in a very unique way. But as I was preparing for priesthood, I was asking God the question, do you know me? Have you ever asked God that question? Do you know me? You should ask him that question. And he will respond, I know you by name. As I was preparing for priesthood, I was on retreat and I was asking this very question. I made my retreat over Good Shepherd Sunday. And I kept asking him, do you know me? This was important for me to understand as I moved forward to service of the church in the ministry of a priest. And so as I was praying, I knew that I was going to be called to orders during this retreat, and so I had my phone with me so that my Archbishop Cardinal Keeler could call me. He was all the way in Rome during the consistory which elected Pope Benedict XVI. And so he was going to pause in those busy moments of his own life to call me to the priesthood. So in one quiet moment, my phone suddenly rang, and it was Cardinal Keeler on the other side of the line. And I picked up, and he said, how's the retreat going? And I said, it's going well. It's been very peaceful. The prayer has been wonderful. I'm experiencing the presence of the Good Shepherd. And he said to me, well, who's your retreat director? And I said, Father Paul Patine. He was a Jesuit from the Southern Province. And then he stopped. He paused for a moment, and he said, well, I don't know him, but Peter, I know you. And I call you to the order of priesthood. Jesus, through a good shepherd in his church, called me by name to serve him in the church. Now, not all of you are called to this kind of life, like my brothers and I, to a life of prayer, a contemplative life, religious life for the priesthood, but each and every one of you is called to divine intimacy, to know Jesus in a very unique way, in a way that only you can know him. And so I ask you in the quiet of your hearts to stop, to allow yourself to rest for just a moment in those pastures where he wants to bring you, in order to nourish you in prayer. He's calling you by name, and he knows you. St. Teresa will speak of the whistle of the Good Shepherd, St. Teresa of Avila. And she says, the Good Shepherd will whistle in order to get our attention. Today he has sent me, the Good Shepherd has sent me, a strange voice to serve as a kind of whistle, to get your attention. Something's different here. Jesus is calling you to a greater life of prayer. He's calling you to intimacy with him. I just simply ask you to respond and say, here I am. Just spend a few quiet moments today, but not only today, every day, listening to him speaking to you in the quiet of your hearts.